It's a fact you're not here. You ain't even real, but you still bring me fear. You make my bones so tired that my soul stands up, but now I'm starting to need to bleed to fill this cup. It's like I'm starting to need to bleed to fill this cup. Oh.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Working Wing Podcast, the podcast where every week we watch an episode of The West Wing and break it down from our own unique perspective. My name is Tim Schultz, and joining me, as always, a man who makes James Garfield look like Ronald Reagan, Killian Collins.
Thank you, Tim. It's always a pleasure to be here. So we are here for the 22nd episode and the final episode of the first season of The West Wing.
Yes, the culmination of this phase of the Working Wing podcast.
We only had to skip one. We only had to like really combine one episode.
Yeah.
All in reality. Which
we dug deep. We found stuff to talk about in like 20 of these episodes.
Yeah. But yeah, at the risk of, retreading the same ground we've always been on, let's dip into the final episode. The intro the name of this episode is called What Kind of Day Has It Been? And the intro of this episode starts off with a recap of those little white supremacists coming after Zoe and people not being honest with CJ all the time.
Yes.
Mainly about like that whole situation with India and Pakistan earlier.
Yes. That's right. And Leo gets shitty about that later. But yes. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we will get to it. But we start out with President Bartlett is at a town hall meeting. And, you know, and he's up on stage during this town hall meeting. It's a town hall meeting at a college campus in Virginia. And he's killing the crowd. I happen to notice the MSNBC banner behind him. But, like, you know, and he's just up there. And, like, they're clapping at all his little jokes. He has this whole speech about how optimistic they are about the younger generation. A very Obama-esque speech.
Yes.
About, like, how you're going to be out here to do it. You're going to change the world. You're optimistic about progressive politics. You see the staff kind of, you know, giving this little like signal with their arm, like they're moving something up, like something's ascending all the way. And, like, you know,
it's like, okay, we're full blown, like QAnon, like conspiracy here.
Yeah.
Like the lizard people are mobilizing.
Yes. Yeah. Like what the signal is. Leo says, like, what the hell's up with the signal? What are you guys doing? And he says, like, Josh is like, it's happened already. And like Leo says, we're totally out of the woods. They keep it vague. They keep you guessing about it.
Yes.
Meanwhile, in the catwalk, while like Jebediah is doing his little jokes, and he's like, he's taking off his jacket, trying to not make a big deal about it. But of course, the crowd starts applauding him, taking off his jacket.
Take it off, yeah. President baby.
Take it off, you Southern Democrat. Woo!
He's a Northeastern Democrat.
Oh, sorry, Tim. I get it. It's like
because he's so Clinton-esque,
right?
You forget
like,
that
it's
he's
the
not,
Jebediah shit.
He's not literally Bill Clinton.
No, yeah, I forget. He's from New England.
Yes.
God damn, always fucking gives me. anyway, but during that little passage, we see Zoe's Secret Service. Secret Service agent in the catwalk looming above.
Yes.
Yeah, indicating that there's some sort of ominous presence, like, you know, about. CJ goes up to DJ pulls Danny aside and tips him off on a Columbia spaceship.
Well, no, she doesn't really. She's like, I've got news to deliver.
Yes.
And then she does a whole song and dance, and then she's just like, call your science editor about the shuttle.
Yes.
And it's like, you could have just told him. Initially. The situation.
But they're playing this flirtation.
They are.
They're playing this flirtation game that we haven't seen for a while because since they started fighting. And it was obviously a peace pipe offer. Secret Service is like looking over an excited crowd while like outside of the event.
Pause to let the truck go by, people.
Going way back to it. We cut to outside of this Virginia town hall get together, or like, you know, like little speech the president was giving, to a very excited crowd with a limo up right up there. Secret Service says, okay, the president isn't going to rope out to talk to anyone. We're getting booked back straight to the car. You know, the code name for Zoe. And during this, there's a lot of stopping. President stops to talk to, like, say hi to people in the crowd. Yeah. Zoe and Charlie are, like, you know, Zoe and Charlie are talking to like, her bodyguard, like, kind of joking around, like, hey, Charlie apologized to me. Yeah, did you hear me? Like, I said, like, he said sorry completely. He's like, oh, I didn't completely say sorry. She's, her Secret Service agent is obviously very distracted.
She's like, shut the fuck up, guys. Right.
Like, is like, looking around at this very excitable crowd, looks up and screams, no, with all of this... All of this during all of this, there's all this suspenseful music of like the suspenseful score that just sounds so out of place for what the West Wing is.
Yeah.
Especially because right during this, when our Secret Service guard screams no or screams gun or something, like, it cuts to the fucking intro music.
Yeah.
It cuts to that. Like,
yeah. It's like that. What was that other episode? I think it was like the India-Pakistan war episode where it was just like totally, totally wrong for the type of, the type of show this is.
Yeah. And I really kind of feel like it's like they're looking at this like, okay, it's a finale. We have to make this a big event, right, a big cliffhanger, and really just do stuff.
Well, So I think there is a story there. I think I heard it on the West Wing Weekly. But I think the story there was that this entire last episode was really from the network.
Okay.
Of like,
and that makes way,
like,
more sense.
Of like, Pete, you know, you have a show that's just people talking, and that ain't going to win a sweeps day, win a sweeps week. So. Yeah.
So we got to get some guns in here.
Yeah, exactly.
We get some guns and emotions and some suspenseful music that does not belong there.
Exactly.
At all. Yeah, that's really what I noticed into it. Then we cut to another scene, and it's Leo in the Situation Room, and we're informed about a plane down in a no fly zone in Iraq, and the president is coming in soon. And Leo says, "Okay, we'll just get more information on that. Let me know."
We're basically doing Black Hawk Down.
Yes, we're basically doing Black Hawk Down right now. And you know, at this point, I was wondering, okay, did this happen like right after this thing? But I'm assuming, like, okay,
yeah, this was definitely. I mean, I remember reading, I don't think I ever saw Black Hawk Down as a kid, but I remember reading, like, the kid's book, the, like, hero adventure book of the guy from Black Hawk Down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically, yeah. Anyway, the president is talking about softball versus cricket with Charlie and how much better softball is. Well,
female, woman softball.
Women's softball is, right.
Because the president supports Title IX.
Yeah. President's being prepped by staff, getting ready for this little town hall meeting, so to indicate that this was earlier that day or in the past.
Well, they also had that bit where they're like wandering through the halls and he just like keeps on greeting people and then getting all their names out. And another fact I know from the West Wing Weekly, apparently that is just a real thing about Martin Sheen. Absolutely terrible with names. Like, did not even really know the names of his castmates.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's the guy you need playing the president.
Yeah,
dude. You need. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, while he's being prepped by his White House staff, man, you know, Mandy, Toby, Sam asking him the tougher questions that college kids might ask. The president asks Sam about the Columbia Space Shuttle and why it didn't land. Said, like, give me some answers on that.
Yeah.
And he said, I also heard that Toby's brother's on that.
Yeah,
too.
He's like, you should ask Toby. And Sam's like, wait, why would I ask Toby? He's like, Toby's brother is on it. And then they have the, I have a note of the joke he makes here. Because Toby's brother is on there studying the effects of space on, like, the inner ears of lizards. And, you know, what does he call them, Killian? What does he call those lizards?
I don't know. What does he call them? He
calls them astronauts.
Oh my god,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, then I think that's a lizard person joke. Not bad for lizard person
yeah,
jokes. We got to Toby and he's practicing a bunch of questions that college kids might ask, and he brings up this one like, oh, you're upset about China for dissenting against their population with locusts, but you don't have the same kind of treatment to Cuba. Why not? And Sam says, well, then Sam's
well, comes no, in no, no. What they're saying, no, what they're saying is that you work with China, even though they brutally repress their citizens, but you condemned Cuba.
Yeah.
For doing the same thing.
Okay. That question, which then Sam came in and said, like, I don't think a college kid's going to ask that.
Right.
And then Toby's like, but the faculty might. Yeah. Like, okay. There you go, Toby, doing that job. But then Sam asks Toby about his brother on the space shuttle, to which Toby kind of, like, does his, like, normal, oh, I got a personal question. I'm going to barely react. I'm going to, like, kind of react weird to that, to how normal people do. And, yes, like, you know, like, very distant. Josh, we then have a nice little Josh and Donna scene talking about his schedule and, you know, how busy he is and what he's got time for. He's got to go jogging with the VP soon, and he's got to go get his chair fixed. And Donna says, like, oh, I sent your chair to my guy, a guy named Chad. He's got a shop for a chair.
Yeah. I like that. Like, an artisanal woodworker just, like, fixing an office chair.
And then, of course, Josh doesn't bitch about, like, how much of the White House money is he going to use? It's like, okay.
She's supporting the gig economy, all right?
Yeah, attaboy.
Attaboy, Donna.
Attaboy, Donna. Attagirl, Donna. You keep that boy Josh honest. We cut to Mandy back in the brief room, pressing on the president, and she's asking, I think she was being tough about, like, healthcare.
That's right.
Yeah, and basically, like, the president does the most democratic response, which is just like, it's Congress's fault. Like, come on.
Exactly.
The president's then called the Situation Room, to which he's informed about the Black Hawk Down situation, and if he's to be rescued. The diplomatic advisor jumps in right away and says, okay, can you just give us a couple hours to work with anything else? Leo, like,
shuts it down. How about I drop you in the middle of the Iraqi desert and then tell you I'm going to talk to them first before coming to get you?
Yeah. I mean, still, I mean, like, that is the guy's literal fucking job, but, like... Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, Leo's whole, like, fucking, like, I was a pilot, to burst.
Yeah, we do get a couple mentions of, yeah, his past.
He was a pilot.
For Vietnam.
Yeah. Bombing those kids, you know, like, bombing those kids, right. Leo lets CJ know about the fighter.
Oh, and there's also a line I found interesting just in...
I forgot. I need to cover the rest of that briefing.
Right, but like, yeah, Bartlett is like, if that kid's not back in a day, or yeah, if that kid doesn't come back alive, I'm going to invade Baghdad.
Yeah.
Because this is when, like, invading Iraq was a liberal fantasy as well.
Yes, yes. And it still stayed a liberal fantasy for a little while.
Until they
saw the reality.
Yeah.
And now we have about that. And now we have ISIS. And nice to imagine a world, you know, when we didn't have... Nice to live in the world where we didn't have ISIS for a little bit longer. Anyway, going back on after that, after the president has his little George W. Bush moment, Leo lets CJ know about the fighter pilot situation. Josh is like, finds it weird that, like, if it's stealth, how has it been seen?
Yeah.
Like,
which is a valid question.
It is. And which, you know, Sam says, like, yeah, you know, this technology is, like, pretty new, and some shit gets behind,
I think Sam raises the point of, like, it's not the newest generation of stealth bombers.
It's not the Chinese have.
Yeah.
Sam grills Toby on his brother being awesome, and like, here's how much he's done, and you never mention any of this shit. Like,
yeah,
kind of what the fuck.
Yeah, he has that little slide of like, I now know more about your brother than I do about you because I didn't know you had a fucking brother.
Right, you cunt. you non-emotional dickbag. We then cut to Josh running with the vice president, talking about democratic money coming mostly from corporations, not from labor unions.
Yes.
You know, they didn't mention dark money or any of that, but like, you know, that's more of like that's our time issue thing.
Yeah.
But like they're getting, but mostly he was just getting into like the, yeah, you know, it's, we're mostly have like a duopoly. We mostly have like a two-party duopoly where it's just, are you pro-choice? Like they're both corporate.
Yeah.
Completely. They both represent corporate interests.
Right.
But it's basically, are you pro-choice or are you anti-choice?
Right. And I mean, I think that can, like, I think I remember in 2008, the big thing was that, like, Lehman Brothers donated millions to both McCain and to Obama.
Yep. They
because they wanted to bail out no matter who won.
There's this nice little stupid game. I know, I think I had you play years ago called Oiligarchy.
Yes.
And in that game, every 4 years, there's, like, an election between Democrats and Republicans. And, like, your idea is to, like, it's a little game where you start funneling money to each party.
Yeah.
And you usually just give it to both until you know who wins. And whichever side you grease up the most, you're in on the administration.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
You're in on it for sure. And I'm like, that was such an accurate and, like, funny way to portray that, like, the actual system of, like, yeah, like, if you're Nabisco or you're any of these, like, major corporations that, like, you're going to be doing whatever you can to be in the next administration.
Like, Halliburton literally had the vice president. Like,
Oh, absolutely. Like, and that effect, and then in turn, because they had the vice president, that affected like what policies went forward,
like going to war with Iraq, for example.
And you know, staying in Afghanistan, for, and you know, like a whole lot of these decisions. Yeah. And like energy. I think Vice needs to be our next project.
Yeah, I think so. I'm interested.
Okay. Anyway, when Josh is all the VP's really given him to this like nice little bit of rhetoric, nice little bit of progressive rhetoric that Josh has given him is like, well, so what? So what? What's your point? To which Josh really, I didn't really get the point of what Josh was getting at.
Josh was getting at, okay, the president is actually serious on like limiting soft money.
And are you in on it?
Are you in on it? Okay. And then he makes the whole point of like, you know, the president is right on this issue. And then he also lays out how popular the president is, especially if he manages to like save the life of this Black Hawk pilot.
Okay. So he's saying like, you don't want to fight his popularity. You want to be on the right side.
Right. He's like, yeah, I think the low quote is you have experience fighting against Jed Bartlett when he's right. And you have experience fighting against him when he's popular. Why would you want to fight him when he's both at the same time?
Yeah. Why not just be selective when he's doing good, be selective on it. Okay, that makes sense. Well, then the VP then responds to him, well, if I had listened to you 2 years ago, would I be president now?
Josh is like, do you ever wonder about that? And Josh is like, I don't wonder about that. I know it for sure.
I know it for sure.
And I was like great, great Bradley Woodford episode. Yes. Like that line delivery, the intense shot out close up on his face as he like says it. Very good.
During this weird like jogging meeting, which is like I found that whole thing very strange, especially with like the CIA, with like
the Secret Service is just like
right around there, and then they like they stop on the side, they all got their aviators on. I'm just like, what if like is the aviator part of your uniform, dude? Like, do they say that on like, you know, inside the West Wing is like, is the aviator part of the jogging Secret Service uniform?
I think it's just part of the Secret Service uniform in general. I always see them with like dark shades.
You can't see the fear in their eyes. You can't see what they're shifting at.
I think that's the thing. They're casing the joint and they don't want people to know exactly what they're casing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. We get CJ briefing the pilot situation in Iraq to a rapid press. She's got no speculation on the rescue mission. Question asked by Danny Boy. The staff is talking. The White House staff is talking the town hall prep meeting with the president. Zoe pops in to say hi. The president says, come to Virginia, baby. It'll be a great time. I'm going to a softball game right after. You'll have a great time. You don't have to watch it in person. That's what's really worth it.
Yeah.
Then Sam brings up his little uplifting signal that they were doing at the beginning of the episode to Bartlett, and Bartlett kind of looks at him like
Bartlett's like pissed. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing?
Like, are you trying to like get me in trouble for like a new like white supremacist sign or something?
A gang sign or something?
Right?
I saw a 2020 about gang signs.
Like, I don't want to be associated with this before. Like, you know, like rescue this pilot and just be like, oh yeah, you shout out MS-13. Anyway, we then catch Josh going to Leo's office, to which Leo says that you did a great job with the VP, and then he condemns him.
And he brings down the hammer.
He condemns him for basically using the pilot's rescue or death as like an advantage for the president.
Yes.
And he's like, the president would be very upset about you using that. I'm offended by you using this.
Yeah.
Josh apologizes and says, and genuinely, he even tries to hug Leo. To which
Leo, all right. In Josh's defense, it totally looked like Leo was going for a hug.
I agree.
Like he's standing there facing him, and he like opens his arm in like a weird way. He's like, all right,
shoulders and like forearms are open in an open position.
Yeah.
Like it's like as if like it's like as if you're expecting an embrace.
Yeah.
But like to which Leo like goes in for it and or to which Josh goes in for it and Leo says like, oh, whoa. Like,
yeah, boy, did you read that wrong. He also had a line. It's not really relevant to anything, but I've always liked it of like, there's a way to be a person. And I've always liked that. Yeah. It's like just a turn of phrase.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not really mad at like, it's like.
You did a good job, but there's a way to be a person about stuff. And it's like, yeah, all right, I like that.
Yeah. And he doesn't take it super personally.
Yeah.
He says like, you were doing a job and you use this tactic. Don't do that one again. All right.
Yeah.
Like that's it. And to which.
And Josh isn't wrong. They are going to get a huge popularity bump from, saving the pilot.
Yeah.
Although that actually becomes irrelevant, I think, because assassination attempts are also great for public approval.
That's really great for public approval. Yeah. It's and then Josh apologizes. Like, Josh discusses the little weird signal that he has, to which Leo says, that's also weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. And then Josh leaves again.
Boomers are just surrounded by, like, Gen X people that they do not understand.
Which I don't understand either, because I remember in The Little Rascals being like, hey, give me the high sign, and they do like a little wave under their chin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that was was your grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, that was, they were
you
all
probably
doing
grew
shit.
Up watching Little Rascals and shit. Yeah. You should know about like, yeah, clubhouses and shit.
Right. Like,
Boy Scouts and all of that.
Like shit, the shit's ancient. The Romans used to do that.
Yeah.
Like, the Romans had passwords for like getting into things when it was a security risk.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, we take these things from that, but whatever. But anyway, another good moment that came into the end there was that Josh is about to close the door and he says like, hey Leo, like, I really do apologize. To give that genuine little last apology of like bowing his head and having some humility. Something we never see from Josh.
Yeah.
And we can tell it's hard for him to do. And Leo, to which Leo says, like, a simple little soft thanks. I really wish that moment would come for CJ. I really wish that whole staff would just be like, hey, you know
CJ,
what?
Thanks.
Like, really, thank you. Like, we're going to throw you a big party and really talk about how great you are. You don't have to do the little, like, I guess they would probably love to do that little, like,
The jackal.
Yeah, the jackal thing. Do the jackal thing.
Like, CJ, we only like it when you dance for us.
That's it. You're like our little wiggly monkey leg. We wind you up.
A wiggly girl.
The wiggly girl. Fuck. Okay, we gotta get back on this. Anyway, Charlie is talking to Zoe about. He's talking with Zoe about, like, I kind of want to put in my two cents about things. I'm sick of you like having to defend me in the media all the time, or like, you know, say these things, like, you know, say these things to the press, like, about me. Like, I want to be able to like regard myself. And to which Zoe's like, well, you're having to run away from stuff all the time. You're having like, you know, I have to answer for you at a certain point. To which Charlie says, like, okay, I work in like, if I say any of these things.
I don't think he's talking about the media. I think he's talking about Zoe had said to the president, like, oh, there's something Charlie had wanted to say about the town meeting prep that he didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay, that, like, yeah, that he wanted to use his idea. That
yeah.
He said at the beginning of the episode.
But Charlie was too chicken shit to bring his idea forward.
Okay.
So Zoe did it for him.
Okay.
And now Charlie's butthurt.
Oh, because he didn't get to have his massive...
No, because Zoe undermined him or whatever.
Or I kind of feel like it's like almost like the Walter White and Breaking Bad thing of like, oh, you had to have a woman do your work for you. And he's like, no, not like that. Not like that. I want me to have the credit for this and like me to be mad enough to say it. Like,
yeah,
it's that. Yeah. I feel that. Okay. Makes more sense. Anyway, they're doing this in Josh's office, to which Josh is saying, you guys keep fighting. I just have to do this one thing. And their fight is interrupted by Josh just like
classic
ass planting.
Yeah. Classic physical comedy.
Classic.
The other great Bradley Whitford bit. Yes.
Which, I mean, honestly, if you're going to be like a network executive and be like, we need more physical, like if we need more of like an old trope, physical comedy always works.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mostly.
Slapstick, baby.
Slapstick, baby. It always gets it. Just don't hurt your actors. Sam comes into Toby's office with some not so great news on the Columbia space shuttle, saying that like, hey, there's like one of these systems that have failed on it, and they're gonna be up there a while longer. I didn't write down all the acronyms and shit because I really do not know astrophysics, and I really don't know any of this like NASA technology, especially from years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of like this whole like tech jargon dump
yes.
that they like to do on this show.
Yes, for like people. I hope that's a point we need to get a space expert on here for just this episode, just to tell us like what the fuck all this shit was. But basically all I really get out of it is that like, yes, things are going wrong, but there's still like, you know, there's no hope.
Yeah.
Toby is like embarrassed about like how little he usually knows. And he's also kind of indicated that he's a bit worried that this is happening. The Admiral, then we cut to Admiral Fitzwallace and comes into the Oval Office with the president and talks about the eagle on the presidential seal on the carpet. And yes. says, like, do we have a second one for when it's at war or not or anything like that? And it's like, and I was, and that was an interesting thing because that got me thinking of like, yeah, you know, we haven't really declared Congress.
I knew you were
going
to have something to
say
about
that. Congress
has
not declared war since like since World War II.
Yeah.
Nor would we want them to, because it also like suspends things like, you know, the First Amendment and like what you're able to say in the press or in person about certain things. So it's not really a great thing. That was happening in World War I and II.
And II and the Civil War.
Yes, yes. And like it's not a fun thing for when Congress declares war. It is never a fucking fun thing. But like I think it'd be a very scary thing for them to dust out that other carpet to
also,
be like
also like yeah, gas prices when we're at war, cuz like the nation the army just like nationalizes most of the country's supply of gas overnight or whatever.
Yeah.
Things get very messy when we're officially at war.
Things get very, very sticky. Like, and that's really all I wanted to indicate is that it's like, yeah, I really hope they keep that carpet dusty for a long time and really don't have to bring it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really hoping that they don't. I mean, it'd also be nice if the president couldn't just send like, you know, millions of troops wherever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
Like at a time just to like, you know, for like a quagmire or something. I wish there was some failsafe on that. And I think that's what the idea of Congress declaring going to war with it. But really suspending all of the rights of Americans for a war, I'm still not a big fan of. But that's what got me thinking about that. Anyway, Admiral Fitzwallace is in that room just to receive a phone call for a little bit. He gets a very short phone call. Very calm, and he says, okay, the pilot is okay, all he's got is a sprained ankle. Bartlett is ecstatic about this, and is so eager, and says, like, oh, I'll get your word on that, you know, on that carpet situation. I'll find out if it's a flipboard thing or something, I'll find out about it. And, you know, he just is ecstatic about it. Talks to the pilot, asks for his parents' number, so he wants to call them and tell them the news that their son's alive. You know, that kind of, like, hooray, hooray. Hoorah,
hoorah!
Hoorah! Hoorah! You know, watch Black Hawk Down out on VHS and DVD now.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much. I think pretty much.
Yeah. CJ gets.
I don't know if that was a Warner Brothers movie, but possibly.
Yeah. CJ has a briefing with a very anxious press. I didn't even like that. This press conference happened so fast. I don't even get what she was even saying. All I really got is that Danny comes into CJ's office.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny asks a question that.
Danny had, earlier in the first time she talks to the press, Danny had asked the question of like, are you talking to the Iraqis?
Yes.
And CJ is like, yes, we're talking to the Iraqis. No military action has been taken yet.
Yes. So like a kind of vague, a vague non-answer to a question everyone's going to be asking.
Right. Yeah. And then when CJ is like, yeah, when I talked to you last, there was a military operation already underway.
Yeah. And I can't, but I'm not going to tell you that shit.
Yeah.
Like, right. And so, but anyway, Danny comes into CJ's office and he's saying he looks stupid. And he's saying he looks stupid by like you calling out me for that first question. And when you could have given that question to anyone else. And he's been so good this administration.
Yeah.
And then like he's like, yeah, right.
He's like, fuck you, Danny.
Right,
you're
right.
Entitled like upper middle class white boy.
Right. And it's almost like, I'm so glad Danny didn't date you. I'm so glad CJ didn't date you, because then it would have just been like, yeah, you owe me, right? Like, you owe me for the sexual favor I did last night, right?
You owe me for this dick.
Right, yeah. Remember that part where I ate your booty?
I ate that booty like groceries, so now you owe me a good scoop.
Right, like, we're just like exactly like, that's the conflict of interest we want to avoid.
Just messy.
Yes, a messy little argument they have in their office again, a little sexual argument that turns CJ on, obviously. I mean, it kind of does. Like, I see it. I think that's how they play it off. We then have a Mrs. Landingham being sassy to the President Bartlett when he's telling her about his son.
No, that whole thing where, CJ getting turned on, that's because Danny goes on like a whole, he's like, I've written for the New York Times, the Miami Herald, and the Dallas Morning News.
Oh, that's an Aaron Sorkinson jack-off moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin.
Sorry, Aaron Sorkin jack-off moment.
Yes. Like, you have to respect the power of my... Dick. I mean, sorry, pen.
Yes.
And then she's like, yeah, that was sexy. Why did you put so much emphasis on the Dallas Morning News?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, but that's definitely an Aaron Sorkin holding his... basically proving Freud right that a pen is more than a pen.
Yes. Like, yes, exactly.
Mrs. Lanningham is we then yeah, Mrs. Lanningham is being sassy to President Bartlett when he comes up to her at the end of the day and says, "I'm going to a softball game and it's going to be great." And she's like, "Oh, it's going to be a real barn burner like that. Every time you see those, huh?"
Yeah.
And you know, basically just not rewarding the president for his little boy sass of like, "I'm going out and being good." And she's like, "Yeah, you little shit. Like yeah, trying to suck up to me now." The president goes into Toby's dimly lit office and tries to give him Toby peace of mind about the Columbia space shuttle. It does not work at all because the president really only has a general understanding. And Toby, of course, is probably has been obsessively researching.
Yeah.
What all the procedures are.
You're absolutely right. He has been like what we would call doom scrolling.
Yes.
But like, yeah, probably, I don't know, doom flipping through like old NASA technical manuals.
The 90s equivalent of doom scrolling, where he's like, hey, he has all these, and plus he has all these resources in his office to like actually find all this information.
I'm sure just like watching the Challenger explosion like over and over again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Is that like what led to this and how close are they are? How many steps away are they from that?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it does not work. Toby still is like upset. I think he's also upset. He's also very guilt-ridden just about like
how much.
I forgot my brother. I forgot he's out there doing this dangerous shit. And I didn't even realize how fucking dangerous this shit is until like it might be too late.
Yeah. And we get a sense that they're kind of estranged, him and his brother.
I think like it seems like Toby's estranged from like he's emotionally estranged from like everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
In his life. Because like his relationship with his ex-wife was so weird, where I'm like, okay, like, did she leave you because you were too socially awkward and like you just can't emotionally handle it or something? Like, that's the thing I'm kind of thinking. Like, maybe you actually left because you're a workaholic and she needed someone else, and like you're just like, oh, I fucking can't handle it, so I need to bury myself in work and I need to just, you know, like be the Superman of a person at work because I can't achieve that in my personal life.
Could be some
seems to fit like that's
some juicy armchair psychology here on the working wing.
Right. Like I mean, all I gotta say is Richard Schiff, great subtext you're given. Like you've been doing it all season. You're great,
man. He embodies the role.
Yes, you do. He truly does. All right, and then we get into the town hall meeting that we saw at the beginning of the episode, and the president is Bartlett gets into this part about like how he has some grandfather or some distant relative and he had some role in the Declaration of Independence because he was like a New Hampshire or something delegate.
He was a New Hampshire delegate to the Continental Congress
in
1776.
Yep, so he goes back to that time. during that speech and afterwards, you kind of see this little montage of these like, you know, these bald-headed boys, you know, like looking off in the crowd with his little cap on, and some bald-headed boys in a balcony or on a window overlooking where the limo is, loading up some guns, and to which this music all starts up again. To which you're thinking like, and it's funny because every time I watch an action movie and like people are like, oh, they should have obviously seen this. I'm always like, it's the music, because I'm like that whole. Odd, never, like, only been in West Wing, like, 2-3 times, ominous music is happening. And the only times it actually happens is, like, if there's, like, a private investigator shooting a photo of Sam, that music's in there.
Yeah, you're right. That was the other moment I was thinking of.
Yes.
Of, like, moments that did not belong in the West Wing.
Yes. It seemed like it was, like, an actor, like, it was, like, one of those, like, real-life shoot-offs of, like, a scene in, like, Unsolved Mysteries where they're recreating it and making it more dramatic, but... That's what it was. It was a lot of build up to this like long dramatic, like, you know, tense moment at the end where you know there's going to be a shooting. To which, yes, these two boys with pistols then start shooting down at them once the president's talking to the crowd and Charlie and Zoe about to get into the limo, and they look down, they just start shooting.
Yeah,
you don't see any of the result of like anyone being hit directly. You just see like the chaos and people jumping to the floor, the White House staff jumping to the ground, really quick, and all you really hear is who's hit.
Yeah, that's right. That's where the it kind of feels like they were trying to create a like. Who killed JR? Moment,
yeah.
Or like a you know, Star Trek Next Generation, ending with fire.
Yep.
And at the end of season three. Yeah,
no, and that's what you say when the network executives really were pushing this. Like, I can really see that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's like, yeah, the show does not have action. It doesn't need it.
No.
It doesn't need it, but like the executives are like, oh no, but this is what we need to have, get people in on the next one. And it's like, was the president shot?
And this is the end of the first season.
Yes.
And I think in the off season, the show garnered a whole bunch of praise. Won a whole bunch of Emmy Awards for acting and writing.
Yeah.
And so then I feel like going forward, they're less like, oh, we need, you know, high stakes and action in order to sell this show. Yeah, it's like, no, the writing and acting is good enough.
Yeah, the writing and acting. We don't need the Black Hawk Down story. We might need maybe for like a BC plot, which, yeah. I mean, eventually that's what this
that's
Black
pretty
Hawk
much
story
what it is. Yeah. It's like resolved halfway through the episode.
Right. Really, super quickly without like any lessons or anything. All you learned is that like the president wants to be George W. And it's like... I mean, not even George W.
Yeah. No, Clinton bombed Iraq too.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, you know, he did. Yeah, and
in the midst of, I remember a conversation with my grandpa, between my grandpa and my mom, like we were visiting him when all of this was going down. It was like in the midst of impeachment, and Clinton had ordered the bombers out over Iraq, and my mom was like, "Don't you think he's just doing that to like distract from all the impeachment?" My grandpa was like, "Cause my grandpa loved the Democratic Party."
Oh, really?
Because they help farmers, you know? Mm-hmm. Basically, he was alive during the Great Depression. He remembered, you know, FDR and his farm safety net coming to basically save his family's life.
Listen to this, Democratic representatives.
Yeah.
If you fight for them, they will remember.
Right. But yeah, so he was diehard Democrat. He was like, no, 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 that's bullshit. If I were 50 years younger, I'd be out there in a fucking plane, too. Like, Grandpa, you never served in your entire life because you were a farmer. You were exempt. You would not be out there.
No, and I would fight. And I would fight to make sure he's exempt. Yeah. but yeah, no, but that's fucking. I mean, you defend him that long ago, and you defend him when things are desperate, they will fucking remember you.
Yeah, definitely.
Like they will, and that's a scary thing I worry about too. Is I'm worried that like might just be some other. GOP, like some GOP son of a bitch throwing one progressive thing out there and then getting a whole generation of working people to be conservatives for like crumbs, basically.
It worked for my uncle. They got the Republicans got my uncle just because they paid attention to him a little bit and didn't talk down to him quite as much as the Democrats do.
It's sad, but it goes a long way.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. And I don't agree with it, but it's fucking, it's not wrong. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, they ended this motherfucker with a cliffhanger, and we're going to see who gets shot next episode, which I already picked out the first couple seconds of, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to taint my perspective too much.
We will. Yeah, I think we will be coming back to this.
Yeah, we'll give word on what we will do with this. We'll come back to like what we feel we should do with this. I feel we're going to watch a couple episodes and see like how we want to do this. I think we're going to recalibrate our focus and see how we want to approach our structure of the world going forward.
Because, yeah, that is the big announcement. We're going on hiatus following this episode. And when we come back, it'll be a little bit different. A different recording setup, for sure.
Yes. We're trying a new setup. A little bit more remote. A little bit more...
A little less highway driving for Killian to make every episode.
I appreciate that. You know, with gas prices going... You know, actually, they're going down.
They are. It was like $3.20 here in Kenosha.
Yeah, no, it was $3.22 on my way here. I was really happy about it because by my house, it's still like $3.79.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so, but you know, it's going down right now. You know, knock on wood. Gotta, you know, make sure that anything could happen. You know, World War III might happen in 4 days. So, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But anyway, we still got to thank, we got to give a shout out to our friends. The best parts of the show, first, I want to give the shout out to Jennifer Much for her awesome, awesome, awesome work on our logo.
Oh yeah, we're in the outro already.
We're in the outro.
Okay, it's been 3 weeks. We're finding our way through these murky weather. Yeah. But yes,
Jennifer Much at jennifermuch.com for designing our awesome base logo that you can find on any of our podcasts or any of our platforms. We'd also like to thank our friend James Kunkka for the use of his song "Back on Our Feet," and you can find more of his work at jameskunkka.com.
I honestly have a hard time. Like, we've done this 22 episodes, and I can't, But like, there are other projects we want to do. We're going to have to find ways to get James Kunkka songs as the intro for those future projects. Because I can't imagine sitting down to podcast and not hyping myself up with some James Kunkka music.
Yeah, and honestly, neither can I. Like, honestly, the local musician I want to support the most.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Fuck yeah. But yeah.
That's this has been the first season of The West Wing, and this has been the first season, first phase of the Working Wing podcast. It's been an experiment of mixed success, but the main takeaway is I like talking into a microphone with you, Killer.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be doing it again as soon as possible. So I think that's all for us. So until next time, keep working.
Keep on working.